Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Carousel Bell Show. With the Denson Brooks and his very special guest this morning. You know, a great man once said, grandkids are God's gift to us for not killing our kids. I don't know if that's true or not because I have great kids. But I have even better grandkids. But we're going to have another show today that's going to help us learn how it is that we should talk to our kids and how we can connect to them better. We look forward to what's about to happen today. Please hold on to your chairs and get ready for another round of Block Talk Radio's show. Please stand by. Get a pen and paper. Mr. Brooks.
Hello, can you hear me now?
I hear you fine.
Okay, great. I had my... Okay, good morning, everybody. This is Jansen Brooks again, and thank you for a... listening to the Council of Elders show this week. Today is May the 29th, the last weekend in May of the year 2021. And we have a good show lined up for you today. This is kind of a part two of what we were talking about last week when we were talking about relationships, male-female relationships. And we have... two really good guests today to share with you about that. And our first guest is Harrison Anderson. And also we have on the panel with me today, Ms. Jacqueline McClain. So, Harrison, I'll let you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your background.
Definitely. I definitely appreciate you having me on, Jason. You know, every time I come on your show, we definitely have spirited conversations. Everybody, my name is Harrison Anderson. I'm a 41-year-old black man who lives in Sacramento, California. I am the creator of a platform called Melanated Fathers of America. That's my organization where we focus on having events in the community and really gathering fathers together just to get a better understanding of how important parenting is. I also have a YouTube page where I produce content that's called Melanated Fathers TV. On that YouTube page, I have a podcast that I run, as well as information that I provide about black history. But the primary goal of both of my platforms is just to encourage fathers to be the best that they can be while getting a good understanding of the system that we live in, as well as learning about history. So I'm happy to be here, Jensen.
Thank you so much. And before the show is over, we'll let you give the people your contact information so that they can watch your YouTube websites and so forth. And we have on the panel with me today, Ms. Jacqueline McClain. Jackie, would you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your background?
Yes, I will. And thank you, Jansen, for having me on today. I'm so thankful to be on with you and Harrison. And I believe that something great will come forth. So all of you get ready. But I am Jackie McClain, and I have been married for 47 years. I actually met my husband in college. I was 17 at the time, and he was 23. He had been in the military. He had come back to school, and it's at Alabama A&M University. We met, and then 2 years later, we married. We actually married in college. Graduated from college, and then started our life together. And as we started together, we were married 8 years before we had children. And so we end up adopting two sons. We have a 41-year-old and a 32-year-old. And we're so grateful for Dwayne McClain. He's the oldest. And then Charles McClain is our youngest. So we've had a fruitful life. We actually pastor a ministry. It's called Living by Faith Ministry in Oxford, Alabama. And we've been pastoring that ministry since 1987. We started in our home, but the present location, we've been in for 30 years. So we're just thankful for the ministry that God has given us. And one of our mottos, and I guess it's the vision for the ministry, is to build people big, and big people will do great things. And in the process of ministry, God has ordained so many things for us. One of the things that we do is a marriage ministry, and that is separate from Living by Faith ministry, but it's a ministry that God has given my husband and myself. And we've been doing this for several years, but we recently incorporated. We have Marriage 101 that we do on Facebook Live. We have various things that we do with this ministry. We actually do outreach. Services that we have, and some of the things that we do sessions with couples. We do counseling, and we also do seminars. We do retreats, and we do various things. So if you're able to join us on Loving by Faith, loving_by_faith on Facebook on Thursday nights at 7 p.m., please do that. But also we just reach out to families in our counseling. We do coaching. We do mentoring. We do teaching. And so we just make ourselves available in various areas. So we are thankful to be on today and to present to you and give to you what God has given us.
Thank you, Jackie. And thank you for coming on the show at such short notice. Oscar, did you have something? Okay.
No.
Okay.
No, I have nothing.
You had posed a couple of questions for us to talk about today. And can you ask those questions and we can kind of get started?
Sure. So the first question, you know, because me and Jansen was going back and forth about just good topics that we can talk about with the family today and kind of just not just get answers, but like I was telling Jansen, just get different perspectives, right? So me being a 41-year-old man, I've been in a relationship myself right now for like 18 years, but I think seeing as the age range of Jansen's audience, I was telling Jansen the importance of our elders, you know, providing us with insight about the different things that they've been through. And one of the questions that I came up with that we can tackle first are what are the tools needed to be in a healthy relationship? Now, this can be an intimate relationship. This can be a relationship with someone in your family. But I just think it's important that we equipped ourselves with the proper tool belt to handle these situations, because a lot of us, speaking from a 41-year-old black man, a lot of us come from broken homes. A lot of us come from environments that may not have been as structured or may not have been as disciplined. And at times we venture out into the world without equipping ourselves with the proper tools, which leads to negative interactions with the opposite sex or people in our family. So the first question would be, you know, what are some of the tools needed to be in a healthy relationship? The second question, the second thing we can get to after that is, again, me and Jansen was having a conversation about this. I wanted to know, just speaking to some of the elders, how do you maintain a relationship with either a child that does not live in your home? Because we understand the percentage of black children who live in the home with their parents currently, I think it's somewhere in 35-38%, something like that. So I wanted to know, how does a man or a woman maintain a healthy and positive relationship with a child that doesn't live in their home, or just a child that they've had a rough patch with? Like, how do you come back from having a breakdown in communication, or how do you come back from having a strong disagreement with your child? Because we understand the importance of fathers being in their kids' lives, mothers being in their kids' lives, but sometimes there's a breakdown in communication. And I know in my family, some of these breakdowns in communication have caused family members not to speak to each other for a long time. And in my opinion, the backbone of our community is a strong family.
All right, all right. Harrison, those are some very good questions, and so, those are some very relevant questions. Just as far as your first question, would you just repeat that, the first question,
yes.
Harrison?
The first question is, what are the tools needed to be in a healthy relationship?
Oh, okay. Well, Jackie, could you give us some insights from your perspective?
Yes, I surely can. And thank you, Harrison, for asking that, because a lot of times when we hear about tools needed for a healthy relationship, the first thing we hear about, well, you really need to be able to communicate. Yeah, that is
mm-hmm.
good, and communication is one of the tools that we need. But how about connection? What about mm-hmm. connection? Because many times people have not connected, and it's the reason that they're really not able to communicate. And in your connection, what you do is you link together, you establish, you bring together. And one of the examples that I use quite often is, somebody is standing with a frayed wire, you have an extension cord, and that extension cord is frayed. And then all of a sudden you feel the electrical currents coming through, and it's going through your body. Are you willing, if you're the person that's standing and trying to relate to another person, are you willing to catch that frayed wire and feel what that person is going through? Are you willing to feel those electrical currents that's going through that person's body? It's important that we join together, because what happens is when we connect, it provides access. It provides the avenue to communicate. And many times we don't connect because we're not being unselfish. We're being selfish. And when we be selfish, what happens is we're thinking about ourselves and we're not thinking about what the other person is going through. So it's important to think about, what is this thing that I can reflect on, look into the other person's life and see, what's going on with them, to see where they're coming from. And a lot of times people are not really willing to be intimate in a relationship. And I think a part of a connection involves intimacy. And when I take that word apart, I take it apart to say into him see, into her see. And so we have to go beyond what we see on the flesh. We have to go beyond what we see in the natural, because a person can present all kinds of things to you. And a lot of times what they do is show you what they think that you want to see. But are we willing to go beyond and see really what a person is made of? Do we really want to see what they're going? Do we really want to see the nature of that person? And I believe that's one of the important tools, is connecting, being open and available to see what another person is feeling, to see what another person is going to have empathy and compassion. I believe that is really important.
Right, right. And Harrison, if you have some follow-up questions, please, by all means, ask. This is a good time to ask.
Oh, okay, Miss Jackie. So I was being, and this is almost for you and Jansen, right? Because being two elders who have, Jansen, you've been married for over 20 years as well, right?
Right.
Okay, so the question I would have for you two and any other of my elders that are listening, right, for a younger black man, how do you guys, when people enter into a relationship, how long do you think it takes to gather some of these things? Because Miss Jackie was just speaking about being empathetic for a person and basically putting yourself outside of yourself to feel exactly what they were going through. Like, how long do you take, or how long do you think something like this takes? Because in my opinion, from, being in the relationship that I'm in now, in relationships prior, a lot of times younger people rush into situations because they may not be whole themselves. They may have different things that they're going through themselves, and they use a relationship as a tool to fill whatever hole that may be. And in my opinion, that's not necessarily a responsible way to go about things. So how when two people meet each other, how long does it actually take to get to a point where you say, you know what, I want to spend my life with this person?
And thank you for asking that, Harrison, because it's a lifetime commitment in getting to know a person and also developing a relationship where you're really connecting. My husband and I have been married 47 years, and that, to a lot of people, is a very long time. But we don't define ourselves by the number of years that we've been married because we are still discovering things about each other, and that's very important. But coming into a relationship, what people have to realize is that, you know, as a believer, as a Christian, I realize that my completeness is in Christ, and my completeness cannot be found in another person. And I think what happens a lot of times in relationship, when people come into the relationship, they're looking to the other person to complete them. They're looking to the other person to bring everything that they need. And I'm going to tell you, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. You're going to have to find your completeness, because if you're not aware of who you are in Christ, then you're going to be sadly disappointed, because you might marry someone that don't know who they are. And so this is two people coming together, bringing baggage, bringing things. You know, a lot of times we have to go back and look at how we were reared, you know, the things that were imparted to us when we were being trained, when we were growing up. All of those things come into the picture when you're talking about developing in a relationship. So my thing is, are we willing to go through whatever we need to go through, not only to help ourselves to be better, but to help another person to be better? And see, that is found out even before the relationship is made concrete, before the relationship is established, because there's a scripture that says to study to show, tells the man to study to show those that you are in a relationship with. Now, are you willing to study about a person, to get to know them even before marriage? We find out, because in marriage counseling, we find out a lot of times people do not take the time to just really sit and get to know each other, whether it be lust or whatever else you're dealing with, and making that relationship quick and in a hurry. But you need to take time to really get to know each other. And I say a lot of times, get to know the family. Get to know the, you know, not only get to know the person that you're in the relationship with, but get to know the family. Get to know the people that are in that person's life, because that tells a lot about a person, who they're connected to. So I say to, you know, one of the things I say is make sure that you have an into him, into her, see, relationship where you connect, you talk, you open up, and you reveal. Ask about past things. Ask about how that person grew up. Ask about the things that they have encountered in their life. A lot of times we're not willing to go there, but that's a part of making the relationship, finding out about a person. You know, most of the time we don't find out about each other until we get married, and then we start discovering all kind of things, and many times it's things that we really don't like. But if we had taken the time before marriage to study the family, get to know the family, attend family functions, you know, attend things that you can really find out who this person is. I had a friend of mine in counseling told me, you know, she said, before you get married, you should attend all the family events. She said, because the nuts don't fall far from the tree. So you should get to know the cousins. You should get to know, you know, and a lot of times we don't take time to do this. You know, we are so hurried in our relationship. We are jumping into relationships without getting to know people.
That's right, Miss Jackie. I'll never forget my parents. I've been married for 45 years this year. This is Oscar. And I remember my parents would always ask the question whenever I would be dating someone, who they people. I'm from Georgia, and that's the way they talk. And they would always ask that question, because we need to know, you need to know who you're marrying. And you already need to know about yourself. You should be learning about yourself and gaining insight about yourself way before you try to find out and connect with someone else, because your information is totally accurate. This is Blog Talk Radio's Council of Elders show with Mr. Jansen Brooks and his special guest this morning. And you need to listen, because this information is going to change your life. Get a pen and paper. and stand by for more information. Please continue.
And I'd just like to say that if we have anyone that would like to call in to make a question or a comment, just press the number 1 on your phone, and you can join this conversation with a question or comment. So, what are some of the tools necessary, I believe Harrison was one of your questions, for a healthy relationship with your spouse and or your family?
Mm-hmm.
So, Ms. Jackie, can you address that? What are some of the tools necessary for a healthy relationship from your perspective?
Yeah, and in addressing this, I would like to address the word relationship because I'm a word person. I like to look at words and I like to look at what they mean. And I look at relationship. One of the words in relationship is relay. You know, and if any of you have been in a race or as you have watched a relay race, and look at when a person is running and they're passing the baton, you know, then there can be a smooth pass off. Or there can be one that is sloppily done. But the thing that's going to make that smooth pass off is practice. The thing that's going to make that smooth pass off is they've taken time to rehearse what they're supposed to be doing, and they've established the course that they are running in, and so they're willing to take the time to get to know. And so that's important in a part of a relationship, part of what I discussed earlier about getting to know a person. But then I thought about the word ship. A ship is a vessel. And a ship transport, and you know that vessel can be a perfectly a ran vessel, or it can be a vessel that is lacking some part. It can be a vessel with a hole in it, and if it's a hole in it, then it's gonna sink. And so we need to look at the condition of ourselves. That's important because if we have things in us that's malfunctioning, then we're gonna bring that malfunctioning part to the relationship to cause others to be that way too. So it's important to look at how we are because we are in this thing together. So how can I relate? How can I make this thing smooth? And then what are the things in me that need to be corrected to make this relationship better? It's important that we don't be selfish. It's important that we're constantly looking at places in our life that need improvement. And, you know, and that's what I constantly do, and I use the scripture for that because the word tells us, the Bible tells us to examine ourselves to see whether or not we're in the faith. Are we willing to examine ourselves and see where we are? What is this thing within me that is not right? It could be the way that I was reared, the way that I was raised. And, you know, what was good for me during my rearing and how my parents raised me might not be good in my marriage. And so we need to come together to see what's best for our relationship. So that is important to study, to know what is the thing that's going to make our relationship better. And so when I say this, I go back to the word that I used earlier, connecting. In connecting, we're going to have to really be willing to be hurt and be healed from our hurt, you know, because that's important because I find out that if you have not been healed from hurt, hurt people hurt other people. So if you come in a relationship and then you have all these hurts, all these disappointments that you have gone through, and you bring those into the relationship, and then a lot of times you look at the other person and you define that person according to how you've been hurt. So it's important if you're in families where you know things have gone on that you need to ask for forgiveness, that you need to talk about, you need to sit down and find out why are these things happening in me, then you need to be willing to ask those questions. Sometimes you might be in a relationship where you have people that are not willing to talk. But that's okay. You've done your part. You ask, what is it this that I continue to deal with? You know, so it's important that we look at ourselves, we examine ourselves, and see how we can be better. And so what I'm talking about now is I'm talking about self-reflection. I'm talking about looking at yourself and deciding, I want to be better. Because, see, many times we're looking at the other person and we want the other person to be better, but then we're not doing the things that we need to do to make ourselves better. See, we need to see through the eyes of Christ instead of seeing through our eyes, because as we behold him, then our thinking is changed daily. You know, the way we do things is changed. And so that's going to affect people that you're around. Everybody has influence. And so if you're constantly being changed and made better, then you're going to influence the people that you're around, too.
All right, all right. Harrison, getting back to your part of your question, you were asking, I believe, about kids, if you live in different homes from your kids. Is that correct?
Yeah, so what I wanted to pose, and just real quick to kind of piggyback on what Jackie was saying to kind of end the last question, I think she's completely right, and I don't know if there's a generational gap that affects any of these things, guys, but me being a little bit younger, I completely understand needing to get to know people's family and really just seeing if you're evenly yoked by looking at your background, right? Like, I completely understand that, but we have to be honest. We live in a day and time where a lot of us, people my age, we're not having family reunions. We're not having a lot of family gatherings like that. We come from homes that are a little more broken up, so there isn't a lot of structure or different things like that that we can look to. So I think it makes it a little bit more difficult to find that correct person. And like Miss Jackie said, it's going to take you looking at yourself and looking at your faults and kind of dealing with who you are as a person before you kind of put that on other people. I see that all the time with people around me having children at a really young age, being in these dysfunctional relationships. And I think the pressures of society today are a little bit different with the internet, with Instagram, with all of these visuals that we have of how life is supposed to be. Sometimes it makes it difficult for younger people to kind of conjure up the life that they want. They're looking at everyone else's reality and hasn't and haven't necessarily came to grips with their own reality. So, you know, I was making some notes here while she was talking, and everything she was saying was completely spot on. So the next question that I wanted to ask Miss Jackie or anybody else on the panel, because it sounds like, you know, you guys have been married for a while, so I'm sure your children have been in the home with you. But what could you tell someone who was in a relationship, for whatever reason the relationship did not work, and now we're dealing with a situation where we have two separate homes? Me, being a father of five, I have five children by three different women. This is part of the reason why I started my platform, because early on I understood how I was creating like a fracture in my family by having these separate households. And it was complete. Now it's getting better and it's okay. But it was a really difficult situation because each household kind of has like its own culture. You know, the bylaws and the rules and the level of structure is different from household to household. So it makes it really difficult at times to come together with someone and do what's best for the kids when you have different philosophies on how life works. So, Ms. Jackie, I would ask you, if you're counseling someone or talking to someone, how do you recommend them keep a positive relationship with a child? Like, if I'm a father, how do I keep a positive, constructive relationship with my child who doesn't live in the same home as I do?
You know, it may be difficult, but Harrison, thank you for bringing the different situations in that you brought in, and that's very good. It may be difficult for you in the relationship, but see, you're going to have to strive to go beyond yourself. And that goes back to what I was talking about earlier about being selfish and your motives. You can't be selfish. And then you're going to have to be willing to come together. The parents are going to have to be willing to come together and agree, because the children should never see a disagreement between the parents. You know, so because it's about the child. It's about the growth and it's about the development of the child. So the thing about it is you're going to have to agree to even disagree in times, you know, times that you might disagree, you got to be agreeable. And because what's going to help the child is to see that you are one, and because the child does not need to come to, and let me say you, Harrison, and get a different agreement on a particular situation than what the mother is agreeing on. That is very important. And so I go back to, we cannot be selfish in our relationship. We're going to have to understand, what is the purpose? You want to develop this child to the best. You want this child to be the best person, the best child they can be. So you're going to have to, give up yourself, go be willing to go and talk, even though it might be various households, it might be different rules or different things that they are living by in the various households. But what is the thing that you want to do? And see, a lot of times we don't go and say, well, I am coming on behalf of the child. I want to sit down and tell you. As we sit down and discuss, it's not about me, but it's about what's best for the child. So therefore, let us look at the things that we need to do to make sure this growth, the preparation that we need to do to make sure this child is developing and growing properly. And that's the important thing. But a lot of times we get selfish. We get to think about our own ideas. And I believe with much prayer, God would direct us to see what is best for the child. In doing that, you know, I'm one of those, you might say, you know, she's an old fogey or she's coming from an old line of thinking. I'm one of those, if you are in agreement to what God is doing, then God will cause you and your, it may be a spouse or it may be somebody that you're not married to, and you might have to come together about that child. But the thing about it is, what is your desire? You know, what is your desire? Is it about you or is it about the child? And that to me is the thing that we should look at.
All right. Harrison, did you have a follow-up question for Ms. Jackie?
Well, no, that makes sense because, it sounds like to me that she's saying if two people sit down, because like I was mentioning, each home will have different rules in a different way that they choose to go about things. But it sounds like Ms. Jackie is telling me that doesn't matter as much. What matters is sitting down with the other parent and say, okay, what's best for the child? And then agreeing, or I have a better question, Ms. Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
So if me and the woman sits down and we have a completely different idea, let's just say on bedtime, right? We have a completely different ideal. Maybe at her home, he can go to bed at 10:30 at night. She doesn't even care what time he goes to bed, as long as he gets up in the morning. My home, I think a kid should be to bed at 9 o'clock. Like, how do two people come to a center point with these different ideologies when each person isn't really willing to budge on how they feel? And this is just one thing, but over my life, it's been several things that come up. Very small things that end up being bigger things, but this is just an example of two difference in opinion. How do we come together to make something that can be beneficial for the child?
And it's funny that you said this is a little thing because I think about a scripture that it's the small foxes that spoil the vine, and what happens is they nibble at the base of the vine and end up destroying it where all the fruit just topple over. So that's it's us that we need to deal with the small fruit. And so that's something that's really not small. You know, the bedtime, that's a major thing. But what if you're sitting in a situation and you're talking to, the person that you have been in a relationship with and that you have gotten this child, and you're sitting and talking with them, and then you start asking about, what the schedule of the child, what does he do, what does she do, what are the things that they are prepared to do on the next day? You start looking at the things, why you think the 9 o'clock hour is better, you know, and discussing those. See, a lot of times we're not willing to do that. You know, we just say, I want him to go to bed at 9, and then the other person, no, I think 10:30 is better. Well, what are the things that you can discuss that you feel that 9 o'clock would be a better time, or 10 o'clock is a better time? You start weighing these things and looking at these things, even writing them down and let each other look. See, a lot of times we're not really willing to connect in that manner where we see what the other person's really thinking. Then all of a sudden, logic rules, and the person starts thinking, wait, well, he has all these things that he needs to do. Really, well, 9 o'clock seems like a better time. But are we willing to do that? Because most of the time we're like, I don't want to have anything to do with this person. You're not thinking about the child, but you're thinking about the conflict that you have with the mother or with the father.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another thing I wanted to add.
Go ahead, Harrison.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jansen. Well, another thing I wanted to add, Ms. Jackie, do you think Because we all know about relationship counseling. Like if two people are in a relationship, I think counseling is a good thing. I think if on your own, I think all of the trauma that a lot of us have had to go through in our communities, I know a lot of people who are just operating on autopilot right now. They've been through so much dysfunction that they kind of feel that it's normal. So I think our community has normalized dysfunction to a degree. So, you know, going to get counseling or going to seek some type of help is like a taboo subject. But another question I would have for you, Ms. Jackie, if two people have a child together and for whatever reason they cannot see eye to eye, let's say one person is coming completely from a logical standpoint and the other person is coming from a completely irrational standpoint, would it benefit them, even though they're not in a relationship or an intimate relationship, would it benefit them to go get counseling together as well?
Oh, you have touched a subject that I just love to talk on. Yes, it would benefit them to go get counseling. And to be totally honest with you, our culture, a lot of times have not gotten counseling when they needed counseling because, you know, it was taboo. Our race of people a lot of times more secretive as far as not mm-hmm. wanting to tell other people what we are going through. But I have seen in 2020, I have seen more people that really more people of color that have actually gone and gotten counseling, which has been beneficial. I've heard many testimonials about how these things have helped people. We have even advised people that we know that really needed an objective view. You know, my son is at this point, he's 41. And recently he went to get counseling about some things going on with himself as far as separatism issues, you know, feeling separated. And you know, he grew up in a home where he felt that, you know, he was totally approved and affirmed, but it was just some things that he was going through. And it really, really helped in their marriage. It helped him in dealing with his wife and dealing with his son and dealing with other people, too. And so, yes, I totally agree when it comes to counseling because it's important that we see ourselves and then that we are in a situation where people are able to point us. Because what counselors do is they have you actually to talk. And, you know, the healing is within you. The resolution is within you. And what happens is they have you to bring it out. They have you to see yourself. And so it's important that we connect with people that we know that's going to make us better. And that's the point. So those of you that are listening and you feel that you've been toying with the idea of getting counseling, please, you know, and I believe that you'll be directed to a person that will be able to help you. But thank you, Harrison, for bringing that out because I believe counseling is a major part of what we need. And then there are good counselors out there. There are good counselors out there. And so I believe that you will be directed to the person that will help you whatever situation you're going through.
Definitely. So, that's good.
Harrison, you're on a good roll, so I'll just let you continue with your questioning.
Okay, Miss Jackie. So because sometimes, how do you feel about this? Because sometimes we won't go to counseling. Like we won't even see that as an option for whatever reason. But unfortunately, a lot of us got cousins, we got brothers, we got aunties, we got people around us that we respect, right? We respect their opinion. So we'll listen to these people without even understanding that they're broken too, that they may need counseling themselves. So how do you feel about, because I see this all the time, just to give you a quick story, I see this all the time where I'll see a young woman who she's in a relationship and she's thinking about going to the next level or she's not sure where to move in the relationship. And she has an auntie who ain't never been married, who ain't never been happy in a relationship, who's telling her, who's counseling her on the next step she should take in her relationship. So how do you feel about us getting information from the people that are close around us, and how can this be toxic?
Ms. Jackie, before you answer that question, let me just take a brief interruption, let everybody know that you're listening to the Council of Elders talk show, and our guest today is Mr. Harrison Anderson and Mrs. Jacqueline McLean, and we're talking about family matters. If anyone has a question or comment, please press the number 1 on your phone, and we will let you ask your question or comment. I'm sorry, go ahead, Ms. Jackie.
Yes, and thank you, Harrison. I keep thanking you because you're asking some pertinent questions, some questions that are really relevant to some things that I have been experiencing with people. So thank you for being open and honest. But you know what? It's important that we look at people that's going to celebrate our lives. Now, if you have uncles, aunts, and, you know, they've been through a whole bunch of hurt, hurt people hurt other people. And they, a lot of times they are not even realizing that they're hurting other people. But if, you know, people are counseling you, an aunt that was in bad relationship with men, and she's telling you no man is good, so you're going to go out there and you're going to have the thoughts in your mind that it ain't no good man out there, all the men are bad. No, that's the wrong way of thinking. And but the thing about it is you're going to have to decide to move out and get somebody that's going to speak into your relationship and help to make you better. And I'll give you a good example. Somebody called me this morning, and it's a couple that we are mentoring. And she was just going through some things. They were trying to make some decisions about her going back to school, you know, to work on her master's. And, you know, he was telling her it's not the time. And, you know, what I offer to them, and you're going to have to find people that are willing to do this. What I offer to them, I said, come and spend some time with us and let us pray with you. Let us speak into your life. Let us hear both sides. You know, I told her, I'm not going to give you an answer right now because I said, you know, his reasoning might be good and your reasons might be good. But the thing about it is we're going to see what's best for your household. I told her, I said, leave your children. You know, let somebody take care of your children. Come and stay with us. You're going to have to find some people that's willing to celebrate your life. Just don't depend on the people that have gone through a lot of hurt and pain, and then they're speaking into you and telling you, because words have power. If people are speaking into your life and telling you, you know, this is how I see it, I haven't, you know, had any good experiences, so that's what I'm telling you. Your experiences are not good anyway. So what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to push beyond this. Are you willing to say, you know, I'm going to look for somebody that's going to speak into my life and make me better, somebody that's going to mentor me, coach me, teach me, and then surround yourself with people that's going to celebrate your life, and that's important. And I know, Harrison, there's some people out there that they have not gotten to the point where they realize that they need this. But I'm asking, seeing, you know, what people need. Are you willing to tell somebody that you love, somebody that's around you, you need some help? Is there somebody, if you may have somebody that you can recommend to help, you know, with the mentoring, you could to help with the coaching. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to point them or direct them to somebody that's going to help them to be better? See, you know, it takes a village, you know, to raise children. It takes a village to help situations to be better. So I'm asking you, are you willing to look in and see that somebody, you know, that they have been receiving wrong counseling and they need somebody else to step in, intervene, and help that situation to be better?
Definitely, definitely. That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I see it too often. Because another thing I was going to touch on here real quick, Miss Jackie, because I see it too often where I look at the lineage of a family and I'll see the grandmother, I'll see a couple daughters, I'll see the granddaughters, and sometimes I'm discouraged because it looks like the elders, the older members of the family have never done the work. So the younger members don't even think it's necessary. So a question I have for you, Miss Jackie, and for Jansen, right, and this is coming from a younger man's perspective. I need you guys to tell me the definition of an elder. And I say this because if from my perspective, just because you, and this is my perspective, guys, just because you're older than me does not make you my elder if you – Because being 40 now, getting up in age, it's becoming crystallized to me. If you're an older person, because you don't have to be wealthy or successful in certain rights for me to listen to you. However, if you have not learned from your experiences, because to me that's all life is about. Age is nothing but a number. If you have not learned from your experiences, it's not going to be much you can teach me. So talk to me, guys. What? Because some of us younger people will hear someone talking that's older, and we don't want to hear it. We didn't heard it before. We don't want to hear what you're talking about. So how do we define elder, and what does the elder need to do to make sure they're connecting with a young person correctly?
I really believe an elder is one of a voice of wisdom, a person that has gone through a situation where they've grown, they develop, and not only that, they're relevant. They're relevant to the times. So my husband and I, we are 67 and 73 years old, but we are constantly trying to make ourselves relevant to what's going on at this time as far as technology, you know, the mindset, the thinking of the younger generation. We're trying to be relevant because a lot of times what happens with elders, they try to go back and use tools that have been outdated, tools that are archaic. But it's important that we constantly be renewed in our mind. And that's the scriptures say, be renewed in the attitude of your mind. I believe that true elders will be renewed in the attitude of their mind. And they have gone through situation, but they have accomplished because of using the wisdom, using the knowledge, and using the understanding that they have received to make themselves better. But true elders, to me, will make themselves relevant. Relevant to the times.
Well, I would just like to say, Oscar, did you have something?
Yeah, I was going to make a comment. I can't speak to being an elder. I do understand that being an elder has a certain modicum of maturity. And maturity is to be able to stick to a job until it's finished, to be able to bear an injustice without having to get even, to be able to carry money without spending it, and to do your duty without being supervised. Now, just because you are older doesn't make you, so you need to find a person who has maturity and is able to speak that into you. I'll back out.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say that a person has to have a certain amount of discernment to select the elder that he's going to listen to. I know as a young person, I was always taught, respect your elders, respect your elders. And so when I got older, when I was very young, I had my dad and mom, you know, they were my elders and my grandmother. But when they passed on, I still had this thing in my head, respect your elders. And so I had some elders that didn't have my best interest at heart, and they just wanted to use me. But I'm thinking, okay, they're my elders, and so naturally they're going to lead me the right way. So after that, I learned that you just can't, just because somebody is older than you, you just cannot listen to them and take what they say seriously. You have to say, now, is this in my best interest? And so even on the council of elders, as we have elders on the council, we're not just looking for anybody to be on the council of elders. We're looking for people that have integrity, you know, and honesty. So I would say, Harrison, you have to.
Mr. Brooks, we have one person, I think it's Michael. Michael is listening, and I think he'd like to make a comment before the show. We have 11 minutes of busy broadcast minutes. So, Michael, do you have a comment?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you, Oscar. Thank you, Jansen. Mr. Harrison and Ms. Jackie, I appreciate the content of today's show. And the only thing I really want to bring back up is the fact that for me and the things that I have had experienced in my past, good or bad, I had to come to grips with at a time in my life when I knew that I need to make some positive change. But at the same time, I have family that was not looking up to me at the time, but I had to decide for myself that I wanted to bring the person that they're looking for in me to the forefront. And that meant looking back at my past and determining what I had to do to clean up my act, my side of the street, and not pass judgment on others. And when I can do that, I can properly communicate with other people, be it you or my partner, my wife. So it's all about, for me, taking care of and improving on me on a daily basis. I'm 65 years old. I feel like right now I'm in a time of my life where I need to give back, and that's what I'm trying to do. That's why I'm with the Council of Elders. I also facilitate support groups, teach mental health classes. I am quite aware of who I am and where I'm going, and I want to help others, especially youth, to find themselves. Thank you.
I would like to say something along to what Michael was saying. That was really, really good, because each one of us have a spirit influence. Each one of us have people that we're around. Are we willing to make ourselves better? And that's why I was saying that earlier, that we need to stay relevant to the times that we're in and what's happening during this time, because we can't get stagnant. Because, you know, if you look at a stagnant water or stagnant pool, what is it going to do? Attract all kind of insects, all kind of diseases. And that will happen to us if we are not stagnant, we're not moving forward, we're not progressing, we're not allowing a flow in our lives. So thank you, Michael, for bringing that out, because it's so important that we do self-evaluation, look at ourselves and see, how can I be better to make others better? Because it's not just about us, but it's about how we're affecting the lives of others too.
Right, right. Well, we have less than 10 minutes now, and there were some challenges out there that there are some couples that are hurting. Maybe they've been married for 10, 15, 20 years or more, but all of a sudden their relationship is on the rocks. Miss Jackie, in the next five minutes or so, or less or more, could you kind of touch on that, you know, in case someone is listening and maybe they've been married for a while, but all of a sudden things are not looking too good?
Yes, and thank you for allowing me the opportunity to touch on that, because that is important, because we are dealing with a lot of people that have been married many years, and then all of a sudden they see that there are things within their lives that are not going right. They see that they've been dissatisfied with each other over a period of years but have not dealt with it. It's important to know there's restoration, there's renewal, but we got to get to the place where we're able to repent. We're able to repent of the things that we've done in the past, ask for forgiveness, and move forward. And what does repentance mean? Repentance is when we turn from and turn to God. Now, when you turn to, what you do is properly align yourself with the Word of God. That is important in relationship. Are you properly aligned? Are you willing to say, yeah, I missed it. I missed the mark. There are times that, you know, I was going through things in myself, and then, you know, it caused my relationship to be bad. But I believe God is a restorer of paths to dwell in. He's a repairer of breaches. And I believe that if there are relationships out there like that, if you come to a place where you say, I don't want this anymore, I want to be open to receive what God has for me. And I'm speaking from that point because as a believer, I know God is a healer. He's a deliverer. You know, God is the one that he makes the path, the crooked path, straight. And I believe that's what he wants for your relationship now. But you're going to have to be willing to say, you know, I missed it. I messed up. And you have to be willing to say that first to God, because he's going to order your speech. He's going to order your steps, that when you sit down and talk to your mate, that you know, you will be talking out of a pure heart and not out of yourself. And that's important, the way you speak and say, you know, this is what I've been going through, and I know that our marriage has not been where it should be, but I'm willing to make changes. If you're willing to change, see, because nobody can change you but you. God is not going to come in and come against your will. You know, but he's going to allow you to say, you know, I submit my will to you. And what does it mean to submit? You know, you think about a submarine. When a submarine goes down, it goes under the water. What happens when we submit? We have to stand under the Word of God. you know, for his protection, because the submarine is built in a manner that is protected. Well, our marital relationship, it can be protected by the word of God, but we have to come under, you know, what God has designed for our relationship. God has designed it so that you can walk together in agreement. But if you're willing to say, yeah, I've been hurting, I've been disappointed, I've done some things wrong, and this has to be on first, on each person part. It cannot be just one person doing that, but each person has to do that. And so I, you know, what I say to each of you is say to yourself, I am ready for the change. I am ready to be developed in my relationship and to be better. You never get too old for that. As I said before, as when we first got started, Bob and I, Bob is my husband, we've been married for 47 years. Yeah, we still have things that we have to deal with. We do not take the attitude that we have arrived and we don't need to work on ourselves. There are many tools out there that there are books, you know, that gives great information on improving your life, making you better. There are counselors that we talk to make you better. There are people that God will allow you to be around that will celebrate the best in you, because it's important, because a lot of times we have to look at who we are connected to. If you're connected to people that are constantly speaking down, constantly not building you up, constantly coming against you, then you need to separate yourself from that. But you need to have people that's going to speak truth in the Lord, because, you know, the word says, the scriptures say, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy will destroy you. People that's going to be faithful enough to say, Jackie, this is what I see. So it's something you and Bob are doing. You know, you may be going forth in ministry, but that's something I see that you continue to do that needs to be corrected. You know, how many will choose to put people like that in your life? A lot of times people get to the point where they get really selfish and think, you know, I can do this on my own. But we are firm believers, my husband and I, that you need people in your life to mentor, to coach, that you can be open to say, this is what I'm feeling, this is what I'm going through. I know it might sound ugly, other than your spouse, but you know that these people are going to speak the truth. That's very important. So thank you for allowing me to speak in this area, because this has been truly, truly a great session, a great broadcast, and I just want to thank God for the elders that God is using on this broadcast.
All right. Well, Ms. Jackie, I'd like just briefly for you to give your contact information, and then Harrison, you can give your contact information very briefly in the few minutes that we have.
Well, I want to thank you all for contacting us. I'm going to give this information, but please contact us. We have Living by Faith Ministry page on Facebook, and then we also have livingbyfaith.org, where you can contact us. And then we have loving_by_faith, and that's the marriage ministry that we have. So loving_by_faith. And want to thank you for even using our address if you would like to contact us personally. And then if you would write this down, those of you that might be still writing and using the tool of mail, then our email is JackieM0041@att.net. JackieM0041@att.net. And then Post Office Box 3104, Oxford, Alabama, 36203. You might say she's been very complete, but I know people use different tools when they're contacting people.
Right. And very quickly, Harrison, could you give us your contact information? We have a little less than a minute now.
Yes. So you can take a look at my content at Melanated Fathers TV on YouTube. Melanated Fathers TV on YouTube. My organization, Melanated Fathers of America, that addresses Black fatherhood in America. We're having our annual Father's Day softball game here in Sacramento at Woody Hampton Park, 7320 Florin Mall Drive. That's on Father's Day. We're having a Father's Day softball game for everybody in the community. We're going to have food, jump houses, just a lot of great community people will be there celebrating fatherhood. Thank you again, Jason, for having me on.
All right, everybody. Well, that wraps up our show today. And we ask you, if you can, tune in next week. We have God Willing and the Creek Don't Rise.
He's alive. He's alive. He won't let you die. And I know.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap. I enjoyed it. I hope you did also. See you next week. Bye.